Live from KPCRadio.com, this is DIY Garage. I'm your host, Victor Chavez. Today we have two very special guests. Before we get into that, I'm going to introduce the show, okay? The main goal of this show is to expand our community's knowledge on the subject matter of the automobile, essentially to show the masses that the way of the do-it-yourselfer when it comes to automotive maintenance is not by a long shot impossible. It would mean the world to me if you, the listener, take the advice given today and use it to your advantage. Once again, for KPCRadio.com, I'm Victor Chavez. I'm going to introduce to you one of my very special guests, and we have Melody here as well. That's going to be another secondary guest. She's going to turn up her mic right now. Today's subject matter is going to be on the topic of buying used cars, used vehicles, perhaps from a lot, perhaps from a private person, a person off a special website. Either way, this is what we're going to be talking about, and I want you listeners to listen in and take anything that we say to the highest of knowledges and commands and make them help you, help them help you, right, for used cars. So my first guest right here is Carlos Morales. Go ahead and say hello, Carlos.
Hello. How you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you. And secondary guest, also my engineer, also my program director, and my goddess here at the radio station, KPCRadio.com, Melody Soto.
Hey, Victor. Yeah, I'm just mostly engineering, but hey.
Okay, you could throw on it. You could throw on a few words when you'd like, okay? Thank you. Okay, so let's get it started, I guess. Used cars. Everybody that can't afford a brand new car is going to look towards the used car department, I guess. Not essentially at a dealership, like a previously owned, 100% maintenance-free, whatever. No. We're talking more about like something you see on the street that's attractive to you, maybe your pocketbook, and something you're really looking into, you know. So buying used cars, what to look for when buying a used car. This is what I'm going to jump into. This is my first topic for this subject. What to look for. Let's say you're a starving student, perhaps, which all right. I might be from time to time. Okay. I work a part-time job, but it doesn't make ends meet all the time. So I need transport because the bus that I'm taking broke down and it's not going to be in operation for the next month or so. So I need something that's going to be cost efficient, something that's going to get me around safely, and something that's generally reliable, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let me see. I make minimum wage and I have a dog and I have to pay my own rent as well, which is incredible already. So let's say $1,500 top notch. That's all I want to use today, right?
Mm-hmm.
To buy me a used car that's going to get me around. Me personally, what I would say is stick to something Japanese. And I'm not even going crazy right now because you could go for an American car, but you're going to be going into a lot of problems. And I hate to say it, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very inevitable today in today's society with the cars being built. So best advice to you, stick with Toyota and Honda. And it's kind of cliche, but it's the best thing to do. Even Nissan as well.
But some of those cars can actually get pricey, though, as well.
That's right. That's right. Fit for $1,500,
you won't get in anything at least 20 years old.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't look for a best paint job, best body, mm-hmm. best interior, but you want something reliable. And that's what we're looking for, especially my crowd out here. That's a bunch of students that maybe don't even have a job, but they need transport.
So you're mainly talking about looking at the engine, correct?
Yeah. Make sure everything works properly. Take it out for a test drive. Listen to it. Make sure it feels right. You know, feels good when you're driving it, not making popping and funky old sounds, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so what's your opinion on that? How would you go about buying a used car, Carlos?
Well, like you said, I would actually check the engine.
Mm-hmm.
I'll possibly even bring a mechanic with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could give you a better possibility to, you know, saying yes to that deal. I don't know if most of us will pretty know someone that knows about cars, but unfortunately there's some people that don't. And I would definitely look into possibly spending $1,500, like you said, like a Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
I know the parts are a little bit cheaper as well, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And I don't know about Hondas because I understand they're a little bit more expensive side.
They are the high-class end Honda,
yeah, they're a little bit higher
Honda
end.
Owners out there.
Yeah, and to my understanding as well, they're really hard to find out there for that price.
Oh yeah, used car for $1,500. Honda yeah. for that?
Yeah,
no,
it's, no. I haven't seen one around that. At least they want at least $3,000, mm-hmm. and I mean that's out of the question right yeah. now, right?
And you know the funny thing about the differences between Honda and Toyota, that it's all about looks essentially when people go to buy it.
Exactly, I've seen that.
Because I mean, you get yourself like a base model '93 Toyota Corolla. It's a small four-cylinder automatic vehicle that's going to last you upwards of like 400,000 miles. That's mm-hmm. how good they are if you keep them maintained. You know, it's a four-door little sedan, not very attractive. But then you go ahead and look at a little four-door Honda Civic, very attractive in looks. You know, and that's what a lot of people go for nowadays. But they just ramp it up, especially, say, for me, for instance. I had a Honda Civic, and I sold it. I wanted to sell it for a higher price as opposed to that Toyota Corolla because I knew I could get more money out of it.
I guess for the style.
Yeah,
look.
A lot of people go for the looks, and they go for reliability. But in all essence, reliability can be in the Toyota side of things as well. So if you're buying a first car for $1,500 or a used car while you're at it, you can go for the Toyota end because it's just as reliable as a Honda.
Yeah, and it's really unfortunate to mm-hmm. see those cars, like, you know, on the side of the road because, you know, they didn't know exactly what was going on with that car right before they bought it. Yeah, I've seen those cars out there like that.
Those older vehicles from the mid-90s or down, very easy to work with. A lot mm-hmm. of people think, oh, no, it's ridiculous. You know, it doesn't start. It could be something very easy. It could be just a bad battery or something like that.
Actually, yeah, I've seen that too. I'm actually going through that stuff right now too.
Are you?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we're here for at DIY Garage, right? To give you the knowledge and give you the best advice I can as a host for this show to fix your problems and find out what's going on with your vehicle.
Now, what other stuff do you think that we should look for, you know, on buying a new used car if it was, you know, for example, if it was in an accident and you're not able to tell, how can we know that?
Hopped it forward. I was actually going to talk about salvage title.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't really know, but you can buy a vehicle clean title or salvage title.
Okay.
The one that sounds more attractive would be clean title, right?
Of course.
Which would be like original owner, perhaps two owners down, but has never really been in a major accident to where declared completely totaled by mm-hmm. an insurance company. And in this case, when you're buying a used car, unless you're a full-blown mechanic or a body man, you know, fixes dents or collision repair, then you don't want to buy a salvage title. And I'll tell you why, because anything could have happened in the process of being crashed in the collision or perhaps mechanical failure to being fixed and operational again. It's kind of like a mystery. You really get into it buying a used car and you really don't know what you're buying unless you're one of those, you know, technicians. Not all of us are, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am, but but what I'm getting at is car vehicles that have been previously crashed, perhaps to an extent of a salvage title. My vehicle salvaged, but that's okay because I bought it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I bought it rolled over pickup truck and I'm going to fix it. So that's what I'm driving now. But not everybody can do that. So you get yourself a vehicle, right? That looks fine. The outside looks fine. But you see the title says salvage title.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big swimming pool of mystery, right? That's splashing all over the place and clouding your thoughts. So what you need to do is you got to ask that person, hey man, what happened to this vehicle? You know, was it crashed? Did the engine blow up? What happened? Tell me the truth. And most of the times, not everybody's trustworthy. And it's unfortunate to say, especially in this market, the mm-hmm. used car market, you're not going to find honesty.
Half the time they won't even know what's wrong with that car.
Honestly, you're not going to find honesty, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, let me see. I'm thinking in the realm of, you know, private parties. So, like, I own a car and I'm selling it to you. You could go even to the used car dealerships, which are overwhelmingly shady. They just want to clean it up and shine it and sell it to you as quick as possible. It's called business, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're looking for the right deal, you might want to go to a private party for that. Say me, for instance. I mean, I don't lie on occasion. It's not something normal, you know. Especially when I'm selling a vehicle, I want to tell you the gut truth. I want to say, hey, man, this has been in an accident. I do body work. My father does body work. We fixed it the best we could. It drives fine. Everything works fine. This is the mileage. Take it for a test spin and we'll make a deal. But not everybody will do that, not by a long shot. So mm-hmm. you got to be very cautious when buying a used car, especially if you see a salvage title or if you see a, you know, damage on the body, something like that.
So would you say that most of the time that those cars have been on, like, you know, accidents and stuff like that, would they come with a problem of, for example, the... not necessarily the engine, but mm-hmm. the transmission.
Okay.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah, it's true because when you think of transmissions, and I don't want to get too technical right now because we're talking about buying used cars, but you get to transmissions, you get, say you get hit on your passenger side on the wheel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wheel breaks. Most vehicles nowadays are front-wheel drive, traction only in the front. Motor turns sideways. Kind of weird, but mostly everybody has one nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, the axle itself, which is like it's called a CV axle, which is constant velocity. So that's like a big old bar that's hooked up to your wheel and hooked up to one end of the transmission. That'll get pushed into your transmission and can mess up internal gears into your transmission. A lot of people, what they do in the repairs of that situation, will just get a new axle and fix the suspension on the passenger side. But you're really thinking, what happened to the transmission?
Yeah.
Hey, why is it so sluggish? You know, maybe it's making a clicking sound. And actual experience, I bought myself a vehicle with a clicking sound every time I would drive. And guess what happened? A week later, left me stranded on the road.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. 1993 Cadillac DeVille, beautiful vehicle, midnight blue, leather interior, V8 power, front-wheel drive. Horrible mistake. I'm sorry. That's way too much engine for a front-wheel drive. But I bought it from a family friend for a really good price that I couldn't pass up.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened. $800 later, I fixed the problem. But $800 is more than I paid for the car.
Exactly.
But I knew what I was getting myself into when I bought a vehicle with a clicking transmission.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kinds of things you want to be listening into when you're driving a vehicle, right?
Yeah, definitely. At least for me, it will be the engine.
Yeah.
That's the biggest part for me. But I've seen a lot of the kids out there now. They're looking, you know, just for the look.
Looks.
So they will go for that car. And, you know, a couple of days later, they're down on the road.
Boom.
Yep.
Deception. Exactly. Ultimate deception. Also, I mean, you say you're looking at the engine, but in all reality, and this can go back into like the used car dealers, the corner of like, you know, any old street, you're going to find out that these engines look great.
Yeah.
And they might sound okay, but the thing about it is they clean the heck out of those things.
Yes.
They clean them. They spray Armor All. They spray anything that'll make it shiny and make it appealing. Oh, let me see the engine. Oh, yes, sir. Here you go. Look at this brand new four-cylinder, only 110,000 miles on it. But what we won't tell you, it's leaking from the transmission and you got a blown head gasket and your one piston number four ain't firing at all. But it doesn't look that way. It looks fine.
Yeah.
Please buy my vehicle. Right? That's not what we're looking for at all, right?
Exactly.
So you look at the engine, it looks sparkly and clean, but you got to really drive it. You got to feel it out, you know? And I wish used car dealers and private parties could give you like a week of just driving it around, but that's not going to happen.
You know what? Actually, I've heard rumors or some sort of places that they're actually doing that right now.
Oh.
I wish they would actually do it just for private owners, because even just that first test drive,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it sounds fine, but give it a week.
Give it a week and something, a little zip tie or something will just start falling apart and transmission's
exactly.
broken. Because they're looking for easy fixes. And I mean, I'm not going to lie, it could be like an easy fix for you know, something aesthetic, like the looks of the vehicle is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Holding up a bumper with the wrong screw or something, anything that holds up. But
okay.
When it comes to real suspension parts, transmissions, engines, you don't want to endanger the lives of your buyers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sound like a salesman or anything, but you got to do the best you can, be as honest as possible. If I'm going to sell a car that always gets out of alignment, like my truck, I would align it and maybe 3 months later it's out of alignment again. But I know why, you know? And so if I were to ever sell my vehicle, I would say, hey, man, this truck was A, rolled over, and the second one that I bought to put this one together was burnt. So it's going to be out of alignment about every 3 months, but that's no problem. It's like $35-$40 to get in alignment.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to share the honesty because honestly, say if I were to sell a vehicle, if something were to happen to the previous buyer while driving my vehicle, I would feel horrible.
So you know? What would you say that it's better to buy a used vehicle
mm-hmm.
That has less mileage on?
That's always the best, you know, but you have to.
But what is the right amount?
Oh, okay. So for vehicles, and every vehicle is different.
Okay.
You can't buy like a Dodge Viper. I'm not going to say you're going to buy one used, but you can't buy one with like 200,000 miles.
Okay.
But you flip the switch and you buy yourself a Honda Civic with 200,000 miles, you're good.
Okay.
You're covered for like the next 3 or 4 years, really now, because those cars are very reliable.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get something that's just. You can use your whole mindset. You can believe in that vehicle, you know, not
okay.
something that's like a supercar or something that just looks badass, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? It has to be known throughout the masses that it's reliable. Toyota Corolla, Honda Civic, Honda Accord, you know, Nissan Sentra, like the standard base vehicles that you still see on the road nowadays, and they look kind of beater-ish,
mm-hmm.
but like people are still driving them around. Doesn't really matter. They're driving them around because they are very reliable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They look like a total clunker car and say, hey, man, why are you driving it? No problems. What about you? What about your brand new Mustang? big problems. You know, you never know. I wouldn't say brand new, but, you know, something with 100,000 miles on an American chassis is just not going to last. And it's unfortunate. My truck is American. I'm burning oil at 80,000 miles. It's horrible. You won't start seeing signs of burning oil in Hondas until like around 150,000 miles. So you're getting your money's worth when you're buying an imported vehicle. Right?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Then that just reminds me of my first vehicle. It was a Suzuki Swift.
Swift.
Yeah, that was a 94.
How did that go along for you?
Oh, man. I blew the transmission.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't know what I was doing.
You see? It's, you bought it used?
Yeah. Actually, I bought that car for, well, back in the day, it was about $700.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, you got your money's worth. But $700 translated to now is what, like $2,000? Something like that?
Just about.
Just around there. So, I mean, it's not the largest of numbers, but it's still a substantial amount. So you wanted to get the best out of that vehicle. How long did you have the car for, man?
I will say about a year.
About a year, and she blew out on you. She gave up.
Well, I didn't put any oil on the transmission, so yeah, it just blew up.
That's the next thing, I guess. You know, I mean, we've spoken of it before. You were my first guest for motor oil. That's the main fluid we need to be checking. But then there's also transmission fluid, all these things that I've pretty much covered in my previous shows, but you got to really maintain those used vehicles because A, they've been used and B, they're your vehicle.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, definitely. Cause you need to get from point A to point B.
Yeah. That's it. You can't really buy like a $1,500 car and expect to go road tripping across the county or the country, excuse me. But you know, some vehicles you luck out and they just look cruddy from the outside, you know, horrible interior, but they got a strong engine transmission and they'll take you wherever you want to go. A lot of people based on looks, like we were talking about earlier, especially here in L.A. County, everybody's about the looks. Get something that's reliable, man, especially if you can't afford a Mercedes-Benz, you know, and I wouldn't buy a Mercedes-Benz, period, but it's a great company, but it ain't me. Right? You know what I mean? God, honest truth. But just buy something reliable. That's what we're here to talk about, you know? I guess next little sub-subject that I would like to get into is price negotiating.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, that sometimes can get nasty, right?
Right. Do you have a personal experience, perhaps, when you negotiated a price for a car?
Yeah, or? I actually, from that same car, I bought it for $700, and the guy was asking for about $1,000. And I told him, well, look, I started with the looks, you know, well, there's this dent here, and there's that dent here over here. And look, it sounds like this. And you know what? Half of the seat is missing. So, I mean, I just went out there and just tried to put as many buts and excuses there. And I was able to get away with that. But, I mean, if you can, just really look into the body work, I guess.
Yeah.
If you want the prices to go down.
If you want the price to go down, look at the paint. Oh, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Right?
But half the time, I mean, you can get away with it. Sometimes you can't.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in all essence, people that are selling used car nowadays are not car guys themselves. They just say, for instance, you see a lot of big trucks for sale right now.
Yeah.
Because it's not logical to drive those around. V8 power, fine, but so much gas. In this economy right now, I can't afford a V8 car. Yeah. It'll take up my whole paycheck just to get to school and back.
Yeah. One trip. Turn back 20 years ago, you were able to fill that up.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Some pocket change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you see those people and they're selling this nice truck for a ridiculously low price, like a 2004 Chevy Silverado, like 100,000 miles on it for like $4,000. And it's almost a brand new truck. $4,000 bought new was almost $30,000. And you ask why? I mean,
it's
gas
economy.
Price. It's the economy, right? And a lot of the times, nothing's even wrong with the car. It's just the person's in such a situation that they need to get money quick.
Exactly.
It's not going to come quick with a V8 vehicle. It's just not going to come quick. When you're selling a car, you want something that the masses want. Unless you're gearing towards a specific group, right?
Yeah.
So that's when it comes into price negotiating.
Yeah.
I'm selling my car. You're going to try to bash me on the body, but drive it around, see how you like it. You're going to get used to it, right?
Definitely. And especially me, I'll go definitely with not the looks, but the engine and what we've been talking about.
That's the best advice I've been hearing all day. All day. I've been asking everybody about used cars. No, sir. Mr. Carlos Morales has the best advice I've heard in a long time. Engine, transmission, the way it drives, not the way it looks.
Yeah.
For a good price, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even better price if you use your words correctly. Price
negotiating.
Price negotiating. I have another little miniature subject that's titled Details, Details, Details. And I don't even like reading off my papers because there's like maybe 15 words on this piece of paper. It's not that useful. But I wrote it down specifically for this. You know, we've already gone over salvage title, which is most of the time, and I don't mean to scare you, most of the time you got to steer away from that because you don't, you're not a full blown technician. You can't be, oh, look at the chassis kinked and it's going to be off alignment for the rest of its life. You can't really say that as a normal everyday person. Me, on the other hand, no. But you know what I'm getting at? You got to do that. Next little thing is mileage. We kind of touched on that subject. Mileage can vary with every vehicle. You buy yourself like a Buick LeSabre with like 100,000 miles, her life's almost over.
Okay.
It's unfortunate, but her life's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
You buy yourself a Honda Civic with 100,000 miles as well as that Buick. Oh, that Honda's got life. It's still got pep. It's still got kick. And another subject, I mean, I don't mean to get into it right now. I'll probably make another show about it, strictly about it. But diesel vehicles, that's kind of the future, but it was before gas engines even.
Mm-hmm.
But diesel, you get one with like 400,000 miles, you still have like 600,000 miles left to it. No lie, those motors, especially like the older 80s Mercedes-Benz that like all the hipster kids like nowadays, mm-hmm. that they don't even know what a spark plug is.
Yeah.
But in this case, they don't take spark plugs, they take glow plugs, not to be too specific. But diesel engines can last on those Mercedes upwards of 600,000 miles.
Oh, wow.
No problem at all. And, you know, you go into biofuels made out of corn stuff. I don't know.
Smelling like French fries.
Yeah, I eat French fries, but I eat hamburgers too. So I don't know about what the vegetarian people are talking about. But those different fuels that you can move apart from fossil fuels and conventional gas and diesel, you can save yourself a lot of money when buying a diesel vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the characteristics that you want to be looking into when looking at mileage, you know? American vehicles, they don't last the longest. Not anymore nowadays. It's not built the same.
Mm-hmm.
Japanese vehicles, very reliable. European cars, tough to say. Not everybody knows about them.
Yeah.
That's why. I don't know about them, and I've been working on cars my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't know really about them. And diesels, not a lot of people know about them either, but there's a lot of potential in every vehicle on the road today, unless it's like a... like a Hyundai. I don't mean to name bash, but you know, yeah. But go ahead. When you're buying yourself a used car, just look into it. You know, now we have the great resources known as the World Wide Web,
yeah.
which you're listening to us now on kpcradio.com on that very thing. And you can find so many things, so many subject matters and so many answers to your questions that you have about vehicles and used vehicles, right? It's just incredible the things that we can learn from that and
exactly.
things we can learn from buying a used car.
Exactly.
Right? It's amazing. So I assume nowadays, do you have any, have you ever sold a car yourself?
Actually, I have.
Yeah. How did that go along, if you don't mind telling?
Actually, it went pretty decent. I actually sold it to a dealership. So it was a 2004 Xterra, I believe.
Mm.
It had hardly any miles.
Oh, really?
So they picked it up quick.
Those V6 SUVs, right?
Yeah.
I like those.
I
like those Xterras.
Mm. Yeah. And then I actually ended up picking up a Frontier from there.
Yeah? The Frontier you have now?
No.
No?
No.
You don't have it?
Just another one.
Oh, okay. Okay. No.
No, not that one. No. Okay. No, not that one.
All right. So you're sticking at Nissan then? You like Nissan?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm sticking
man.
To Nissan, and I actually do have a Lancer.
Mitsubishi?
Yeah.
Japanese.
Uh-huh.
Very reliable.
To a certain extent.
Oh, okay. Nissan, very reliable.
Yeah.
Mitsubishi, I can't say either because I've never really worked on one, but there's a lot of potential in those vehicles.
Yeah.
Mitsubishi, Lancer, Evo, you know, those fancy mm-hmm. ones. A lot of potential in every vehicle. Especially Japanese trucks. They've been around since, Lord knows, the 60s, right?
I think even, was it Datsun?
Datsun.
That became Nissan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody loves those little Datsun pickups.
I love those trucks.
Or even the little cars, the little 510s.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
And I actually learned how to drive in a Datsun.
Yeah?
Yeah. Old truck, all beat up truck, and that's what I learned.
That's where you found your love for Nissan.
There you go.
That's the first truck I ever learned how to drive stick shift on was a Nissan Hardbody, 1986, four-cylinder. I love that little thing.
I think mine was like a 70-something. It's my dad's. I tore that thing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the original thing. You know, that's what we really need to get into is finding your love for a vehicle. Because any car on the road nowadays has potential, you know, especially if you have the heart and soul like we do here on DIY Garage for that specific vehicle, you can make anything last.
Yeah.
Used cars, especially. Used cars are not the end of the world. It's not necessary to buy a new car. It's very nice, mm-hmm. but not everybody has the financial means to pay for that, right? So, in all reality, just do your research when you're buying a used car, you know, price negotiate. It might sound kind of lowballish, but do the best you can to negotiate prices and get yourself a good deal, you know, get yourself a good deal. Save up later for paint, save up later for rims, save up later for aesthetic purposes. If you want something that's very reliable, that's going to get you around. If you're looking to a V8 supercar, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But in this case, thank you very much, Mr. Carlos Morales.
You're welcome. Glad to come back here again.
Yeah, thank you, Melody, for your engineering duties with us. And this has been DIY Garage. Thank you for listening on kpcradio.com. Up next, we have half an hour, can make a world of difference with James.